dealerships. Park Place Dealerships, experts in excellence. ParkPlace.com.
From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. In a few minutes, what it was like to be Catholic in Dallas when John F. Kennedy was assassinated, and a Saturday Night Live alum takes on a serious role. But first, to the two major musical tributes marking the JFK anniversary this weekend, KERA's Jerome Weeks looks into the evolution of the Requiem.
Traditionally, this is the kind of memorial music we've used to mark the passing or the legacy of a great person. Solemn, slow, often in a minor key. It's from Henry Purcell's Funeral Music for Queen Mary from 1695. But much of that changed with the 20th century. Music became atonal. The Latin Mass fell out of favor. Composers turned to religious traditions outside of Christianity. Jamie Allen is the director of education for the Dallas Symphony.
The 20th century itself was just breaking down all kinds of structures. And so there was a very deliberate move to not use the architecture of the past to build a new architecture.
Which is what composers face today when commemorating Kennedy. What evokes emotion? What can console? This is Murder of a Great Chief of State, which Darius Milhaud composed in honor of Kennedy in 1965. The DSO performs it tonight. The fact is, there are still musical sounds like this we associate with sorrow or loss. Drums pounding like fate. Violins sounding like weeping. Conrad Tau composed a new memorial for Kennedy called The World is Very Different Now, which the DSO also performs tonight.
I'm interested in, like, why is it that a certain type of lush string writing, you know, makes me think of mourning, even if all of this is also, on some level, just a conditioned response.
It's a conditioned response partly because movie soundtracks have pushed these buttons for years. The DSO's Allen composed soundtracks. He says it can fall easily into cliché. This sound requires that emotion.
That's what I would call emotional theater, where it's saying you have to go here and then you have to go there because that's when the couple kisses and that's when they leave.
Allen says composers can certainly use these kinds of sounds, but he believes a richer, more effective elegy doesn't make us feel things. It lets us enter its musical space, and we find our emotions in it.
Again, it's like architecture. It's like a great cathedral. You want a place that allows you to find your own thoughts.
Steve Mackey composed a JFK memorial, One Red Rose, which the Nasher Sculpture Center presents this weekend. Mackey says he organized it around the tension between public ceremony and private tragedy. He thought of Jackie Kennedy's dignified composure after her husband's murder and his own sorrow performing the funeral for his mother.
I had plenty of cathartic release, but then I found the sort of obligation, the responsibility, the privilege to be restrained and perform this ritual really helped me.
This is what many requiems and funerals try to do. They restrain our emotions with protocol, but they also channel those emotions. That kind of human moment amid the formal and ceremonial already exists in what might be called an accidental musical memorial for JFK. It's one that still resonates with many listeners on YouTube. This is Army Sergeant Keith Clark playing taps at Kennedy's funeral in Arlington Cemetery in 1963. That cracked note was attributed to grief. His lip quivered, reporters said. Sergeant Clark revealed later actually he'd been standing in the cold for 3 hours and had no chance to warm up. Yet knowing that, it's still hard to hear it and not be moved by this bit of human frailty breaking through. Would his performance be as memorable if it were flawless? This Sunday, more than 100 buglers will honor both President Kennedy and the late Sergeant Clark by playing taps at Arlington. Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
North Texans this week have been recalling their memories of the Kennedy assassination in our series JFK Voices. Today, a doctor whose family felt a special connection to the Kennedys.
I'm Dr. Catalina E. Garcia. I'm originally from El Paso, and I came to Dallas to go to medical school and just fell in love with the city and never left. I was working in the office of a small-town physician surgeon. I was putting a patient in a room, and the lady at the desk said, don't. Okay, so I excused myself from the lady and took her back to the waiting area, and she's the one who told me, the president's been shot. And I said, what president? I didn't know if she was talking about a college or what. And that's when I learned. I didn't keep track of politics at that time, but I did hear all the anger at this president who was Catholic. And since I've been born and raised Catholic, I was a bit puzzled as to why being Catholic was a problem. And I didn't really understand why they didn't like him. I was really shocked at the attitudes at the time in Dallas. And my family was very aware of the civil rights situation. It hasn't been wonderful for Latinos in Texas either. What this anniversary has done is just brought back the realization that we have to do something in this country about more exchanges, more understanding of differences among us, more discussion where we really hear each other.
Listen to our other JFK voices at kerannews.org. And tomorrow, KERA 90.1 will broadcast the official commemoration ceremony live from Dealey Plaza, beginning at 11. Saturday Night Live funny guy Will Forte takes on a serious role in the new movie Nebraska. It was featured at this month's Lone Star Film Festival in Fort Worth. While in town, Forte sat down with our big screen team.
I'm Stephen Becker with KERA, joined by Chris Wagner, movie critic for the Dallas Morning News. In Nebraska, Bruce Dern plays a delusional man who's convinced he's won a $1 million prize. All he needs to do to get it is get from his home in Montana to Lincoln, Nebraska. And eventually, his son, who's played by Will Forte, helps him out.
Come on, let me take you home.
I'm going to Lincoln. It's the last thing I do. I don't care what you people think.
Listen to me. You didn't win anything. It's a complete scam. So you got to stop this, okay?
I'm running out of time.
You didn't even have a suitcase.
I'm not staying there.
Dad, I can't let you go.
It's none of your business.
Yes, it is. I'm your son.
Well, then why don't you take me?
You can't just drop everything and drive to Lincoln, Nebraska.
Oh, what else you got going on?
And Will Forte joins us today. Will, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So one thing that I think is worth noting about Nebraska is that it's oftentimes very funny, and yet you are kind of along as the straight man.
Yeah, it's so hard to put the movie into a category because it's dramatic at points, it's funny at points, very sad at points, uplifting at other points. It's kind of like all his movies. Alexander Payne's movies, it just kind of hard to categorize.
And it has this wonderful minimalist Bruce Dern performance sort of at the center of it. How did you work off of that, and what was it like working with Bruce on what is kind of being seen as his big comeback?
It was so amazing to get to be a part of that because he is a real chatterbox. He loves telling stories, tells wonderful stories about Alfred Hitchcock and Elia Kazan, John Wayne, Marilyn Monroe. I just heard millions of stories, and it was so fun. And then the cameras would turn on, and he just turned into this completely different person, man of few words, very, very gruff. And God, it was just the biggest treat to get to watch that with my own two eyes.
He does a great Jack Nicholson impression,
too. Oh, he does. Yeah, he told a lot of Jack Nicholson stories, too. Yeah, his voices are great. I love his Nicholson, and I love his John Wayne is great, and his Alfred Hitchcock is wonderful. Bruce. Oh, I can't do it. I can't do it, but he can.
It is, I mean, as we were talking about, it is noteworthy, I think, that this is a movie that deals with the aging process and a guy who, you know, has had a hard life, and yet it's not overly morose.
There is a lot of hope to the movie also, you know. The relationship that Bruce and I have in the beginning of the movie is kind of strained, and we really get to know each other over the course of the movie, and the relationship changes. Yeah, I still can't believe I got to be in this movie, to tell you the truth. It's just been an amazing experience.
Will Forte, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
KERA's Stephen Becker and Chris Wagner of the Dallas Morning News speaking with Will Forte. You can watch the trailer of Nebraska at artandseek.org. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.
Support for KERA comes from you, our members, and from North Haven Gardens, presenting demonstrations on working with natural holiday wreaths and greenery for decorating, Saturday, November 23rd at 1 p.m. Details at nhg.com and on Facebook. Sovin European Sleep Systems, mattress systems engineered to address the ergonomic factors which affect sleep while accommodating differing comfort levels among couples. Sovin European Sleep Systems, rest healthy, live well, sovn.com.